Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thanks for tuning in today. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for supporting Faith Radio. Thank you for listening to my show. You know, loyalty, it's one of life's, it seems to be one of life's most costly qualities. But it is such a selfless part of love, because to be loyal, you just can't live for yourself, because you're always looking out and thinking of someone else. And you know, loyal people, if you know someone in your life who's loyal, you just know that not only do they stand by their commitments, but they will suffer for them. They will stand up in times and in ways that you just sort of admire and go, wow, that is a powerful illustration. And I think of my source of truth, which is God's Word. And the more I read it, the more I understand that he demands my loyalty. And I am grateful that you come to that realization, because for a lot of life, you can fight that and you can try to do a little bit of your own agenda in life, and it doesn't ever seem to work out very well. So you understand that, I understand that God's demanding my loyalty, and that's where I'm happiest. And I hope you are too. And I hope that you are growing in your faith. And I hope when you tune into the show, you walk away with something, you put it in a brown paper bag and walk through the front door and say, hey, here's something I learned today on Faith Radio, because I do get the best guests on. And they are so wise, and they come from such great experience. And my next guest, who I'm going to bring on in just a minute, is Oz Hillman. He's the president of Marketplace Leaders. And we're going to talk about the culture shapers and how the culture is defined by seven cultural mountains. Mountain, that's all ahead in just a minute. Oz Hillman will be my guest. Be back in just a minute.
Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. During the week of Thanksgiving, the Faith Radio prayer team is focusing on gratitude. We're thankful for many blessings, and may we not forget all the benefits of the Lord in our lives today and in the days to come. We'd love to have you join us in thanking God for his blessings and praying for the needs in our communities and nation. Sign up for the Faith Radio prayer team today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
For 70 years, Faith Radio has been connecting faith to life. God is using Faith Radio in exciting ways, and you can easily stay up to date through our ministry updates page at myfaithradio.com. To learn more about the ministry and what's currently happening here and where Faith Radio is growing, view our ministry updates page at myfaithradio.com. That's ministry updates found under the About tab at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back. It is 7 minutes after the hour. Oz Hillman is the president of Marketplace Leaders and Aslan Group Publishing, and he's authored over 18 books. He's a speaker and a consultant, and he does just about everything. But in, I think it was 1998, he sent out a little email newsletter called TGIF, Today God is First. And now it's been subscribed to by more than 150,000 people daily. And worldwide, it's read in more than 104 countries. And I think of Oz, and I go, I just think he took the next step in life. I think he looked at stuff and said, I'll take this step. And then look what God has done. And it hasn't stopped there. We're going to talk to him today about the seven cultural mountains out there. And he's on my studio line. Hello, Oz.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good. Is it safe to say you just took the next step?
Well, I was sort of chuckling as you were describing that. I said, well, I don't know if it was the next step or pushed into the next step. But
either way, you got to the next step. Some people look at their dreams in life or whatever they'd like to do, and they look at everything at once and they go, oh, this is too much. But if you just take the next step, I think that's what God asks you to do, is take that next step of faith.
Yep, and I think of Moses, about him taking the next step after he had that little encounter at the burning bush. You know, that was a pretty big step, but he had to take the first one first, and, you know, little would he realize what God would do with him.
Yeah, so let's talk about how to be a culture shaper, how we can influence and shape the culture that we live in, because the time is now to get aware of all this and to start making a difference. You talk about there's seven cultural mountains. You want to talk about those?
Sure, Bill. You know, back in 2000, I came across the seven cultural mountains. It really originated in 1975 through Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, and Lauren Cunningham with Youth with a Mission. And their testimony, they shared how God spoke to both of them the very week they met each other about these seven spheres. And what they felt God said to them was, if we're going to shape the culture, we've really got to touch these seven areas, because these seven areas most define the values and the beliefs that people form in their life. And these areas are arts and entertainment, business, education, family, government, media, and religion. And so, you know, they developed some initiatives, but those initiatives were not that successful. And I think the reason was they were both youth organizations that these youth were raising their support to evangelize. And really, it wasn't until the mid-90s and the early part of 2000 that we began to see sort of the emergence of marketplace leaders in these seven spheres to realize that their calling, their spiritual calling, was in business and arts and entertainment and media and so forth, because those are the places of real influence. And so we began to see more movement in that in the mid-2000s, and now there's many people that really understand their call to that and really trying to understand how can we be more effective in really being salt and light in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
For these areas.
Yeah. Oz, what can we learn? Let's start with, you know, what Jesus, how he impacted his culture. Can you think of ways in which he had an impact in his culture? Besides obvious.
Absolutely.
Besides the very obvious.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I noticed when I was writing my book, Change Agent, I was studying the life of leaders, and of course, Jesus being the number one leader, I noticed that Jesus usually solved the problem in a person's life immediately upon meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he met Peter, he solved his fishing problem.
Right.
He solved his tax problem. He solved, you know, the prostitute's problem, that she was about to get stoned. And he solved Lazarus's dead problem, you know, and so, you know, almost in every encounter, he solved the problem. And I believe that's why his influence grew more and more, because Jesus solved problems. And that's a great illustration for us to realize if we start solving problems, we're going to start gaining influence. It's a byproduct rather than a goal for influencing culture.
Yeah, I think of his first miracle. I mean, he was basically solving a catering problem.
Yeah, you know, I joke about that miracle. I said, you know, coming from a background in advertising and PR, I would have advised him that, Jesus, that's not the first miracle you want to do.
Right.
Because, you know, Baptists are going to really have a problem with that. You turn the water into wine, you know. So that's always interesting to me that he did that.
Yeah. And then even I think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's being arrested and about to go through the worst 24 hours of his life. And he takes time to pick an ear off the ground that had been cut off a head and put it back on the soldier's head. I'm going, you're still caring about him and his ear.
Mm, yeah, he's still solving problems.
He's still solving problems, yeah. Yeah, I always wonder what it would have been like, you know, with that soldier trying to retell that story. You know, the guy took a swing at my head, and I ducked, but he cut my ear off. And then this guy we arrested, he picked it up and stuck it back on my head.
Yeah, you couldn't think these things up.
You really can't. So anyway, these cultural mountains that we're talking about, they do really define or determine the values and beliefs that go on in the world, don't they?
Well, they do. And, you know, one of the things we discovered is that it only takes a small percentage of leadership to really shift one of these cultural mountains. And the greatest case study we have of that is the gay rights movement. You know, 25 years ago, they decided that what they were doing was not working in terms of gaining the public's, you know, favor. And so they, in part, embarked on a strategy to shift the public's view of their issue from being a moral issue to being a civil issue. And so they went into Hollywood and started writing scripts for movies to where they would get gay characters in there that would be seen as normal. They would get media roles. They would go into the media, like CNN has a few gay people on there, and they'd go into education, start rewriting textbooks, and they would get into government, start, you know, lobbying for legislation, you know, the gay marriage, you know, they were successful with. And so what you see is a population that's less than 3% who's really, through their strategy, has shifted America's view of that issue. And it's quite a case study of, you know, the seven mountains just in that situation.
Mm-hmm. That is a fascinating case study. It really is, because a small percentage, a very small percentage, has made a gigantic impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm speaking to Oz. No. Yeah, Oz Hillman is my guest, and we're talking about the culture, the seven culture shapers in our world today. If you have a question or a comment, we're welcome. A call, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, I'll take a short break and be back with more of Oz in a minute. It is 18 minutes after the hour. Oz Hillman is my guest, president of Marketplace Leaders, and also puts out a devotional called TGIF, Today God is First. I've been reading that for years, and it's a great little devotional, always packed with good stuff, and it's very dense. It's like a piece of flourless chocolate cake. You could take one bite and chew on it and then go, there's a lot in there. So I appreciate the work you do, Oz. It's very good stuff.
I have to say, I've never had the devotional described that way before.
Well, that's what happens when you come on my show. Now, I know there's a big conference coming up on culture shapers. I think it's in March of next year.
That's right. It's called the Culture Shapers Summit. And we're bringing together 40 top leaders in among the seven cultural mountains, people like Steve Green and Roma Downey Arts and Entertainment and A.R. Bernard Christian Cultural Center and Hugh Hewitt. And so we're bringing these leaders together with a motive to help leaders understand the signs of the times and the seriousness of our times and how we can collaborate together to make a greater difference in our culture for Jesus Christ within these cultural spheres. And so it's going to be a great gathering, partnering with the Museum of the Bible, which is a fantastic museum that opened really a year ago, November. And it's a $1 billion project funded by Hobby Lobby. And so I would encourage your listeners to come be with us. The website is cultureshapersummit.com, cultureshapersummit.com. You can find all the information on it there.
Mm-hmm. Oz, do you think that the gospel of salvation is getting to be a harder conversation to have today in the world because of the seven mountains?
Well, I think that I was just talking to someone last night about where we are in the culture and how even in this recent election, the types of people that got elected, you would have never thought some of these kinds of people would have any chance of election in the United States of America, with the values and the message and the vision that they have. It's so anti-God and anti, you know, gospel that it's just extraordinary where our nation has come to just in the last 15 years, you know, things that have happened. It, you know, just imagine if you were in a time capsule in 1950 and you woke up today and you watched television and you heard people speak the way they speak in government. And it's just really something that we all need to be concerned about for our children's sake, and to be really about being culture shapers and to be salt and light, to see God move in the hearts of people today.
Yeah. As my above average listeners, I've got a caller who's got a question for you. Barbara is giving us a call from Madison in the great state of Wisconsin. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. You have a question or a comment for us?
Yes, I have a question, please. And I was wondering, I've heard about the Seven Mountains for a while, number of years, but I was wondering what would be the best way to get involved or in touch with people in our area about this topic?
Good question.
If you have a certain mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, Barbara, if you'll email me at my email address, I'll try to send you some stuff. One of the things that's going to happen at the Culture Shapers Summit, we're introducing a new technology called World Changer Network. And the World Changer Network technology will be perfect for people like you who are looking to connect in your area around a certain mountain and to know about projects in your area that you can plug into, or maybe you have a project and you want to get funding for a project, or you want to get information to help better or move your project forward. This is an exciting technology that was originally created at the United Nations, and it's going to be used for the kingdom now. We're actually going to have a webinar on that on December the 13th on the World Changer Network technology. And as I say, it'll be introduced at the summit. And if you'd like to know more on that, just drop me a note, OS, at marketplaceleaders.org. I'll send you the link to that webinar.
Thank you so much, Barbara. That's a pretty direct personal response. Just email Oz at marketplaceleaders.net. Is that correct, Oz?
.org.
Awesome. Okay. Oz at marketplaceleaders.org. All right. Now let's talk a little bit about Marketplace Leaders. And as always, we're all interested in practical ways we can be more effective for Christ in the workplace. And it's getting increasingly more difficult. So maybe you can give us a practical way or two.
Well, I think, you know, we all rub shoulders with people in the workplace. And being sensitive to what people are going through, I think one of the most powerful ways you can impact somebody in the workplace is when you hear that they have a need of some kind, you simply offer to pray for them. And do it right there if they'll let you, you know, right there in public. If they're uncomfortable with that, just say that you're going to be praying for them. But it's very unusual for someone to turn prayer down. You know, it seems to be one of those acceptable things for people to offer to do. And I see, you know, people really, it's a bridge builder into the lives of people. Because people, you know, when you show genuine love and concern to people, they're just not used to that. And you know, they're going to want to know the reason for that.
Yeah.
And that's really, that again is combining love with problem solving, you know, caring for the people.
Yeah. When I talk to someone like that, Oz, I always kind of take ownership. I usually say, I am a person that likes to pray. May I pray for you? And then just see where it goes from there. They might say, yeah. And then you can gauge whether or not that moment would be the appropriate time, or I will pray for you tonight when I go home.
Yeah, I remember years ago when Henry Blackaby did his series Experiencing God, he said, you know, see where God is working and join him in it, you know. See where God is working, you know, in your workplace or in your community where people, where needs are, you know, that's where you can plug in and fill a need.
Yeah. So what if we are standing in our convictions and in giving loyalty to God where it belongs, and yet we work in a secular place, obviously we don't want to be violating company rules, but we want to be as effective as we can be. So your counsel would be to, yeah, you got to put that guy on hold because you're talking to me right now. your counsel would be to obviously be sensitive to the situation, but look for opportunities to just connect with them on a personal level.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about relationships. And, you know, this next generation is more so about relationships than our generation. And so, yeah, it's just building those bridges. I was talking to a leader the other day about some of the keys to community transformation. And one of the things I learned years ago was it always requires more investment in relationship than what you think. And so we have to be very intentional about, you know, connecting with people, building that relationship, building trust, because you got to build a relationship in order to build trust.
Mm-hmm. And just remind people that's all hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if we're abiding in Christ, it doesn't have to be hard. It can flow out of your relationship with the Lord where you're just you know, what's coming out of you
yeah.
is affecting others in a very natural way.
That's a much better way of putting it, Oz. That's why you're the pro. But, I mean, you know, it's to continually be investing in people and doing that extra little connection with them. You just have to be noticing people and being intentional, which is, I think, the whole point. But look for God's strength to flow through you so you don't burn yourself out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Oz, I'm always encouraged by what's going on in your world. You're a busy guy with a lot going on in your head, and you put it out, and it's all good stuff. So thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to learn more about Oz and his work, go to marketplaceleaders.org, and you can sign up for his devotional, which I have done and I've been getting for a long time, and you can find out everything.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
We have a new website that has all four devotionals on it called todaygodisfirst.com.
Okay.
todaygodisfirst.com, and you can access all four devotionals free of charge. And you can either read them there or you can subscribe and get them by email or to your phone.
Yeah, well, thank you for giving me updated info. I always appreciate that. I like to have that for my listeners. todaygodisfirst.com. We'll take a short break and be back with Lars Dunberg in just a minute. Welcome to the show. I am as delighted as I can be today because I have in studio Lars Dunberg. He is originally from Sweden, and he's lived both in Britain and the U.S. He has been doing ministry in 85 countries, working alongside believers from all walks of life. He is with an organization called Serve Now, which he is very passionate about, and I'm happy to welcome him into the studio. Hello, Lars.
Thank you.
So I want to hear so much about your life because it's so interesting.
It's long.
You married a British woman?
I married a Brit. We've been married 51 years. We are still struggling with transcontinental weddings and marriages and all of that stuff.
I bet.
Yeah.
And your Swedish heritage, has she embraced it?
Yes. She moved over to Sweden and lived there for 6 years with me and learned to speak the language. And when I was told I had to move to the U.S., she said, have a good trip, because I'm not coming.
She was staying put, huh?
Yeah, but yeah. She eventually came, and we've been here 40 years.
Okay, fantastic. And you live in Colorado Springs?
We do.
Nice. Now, I want to hear about Serve Now, and I want to hear about it right now.
Serve Now started 6 years ago. Come December, I was just recently retired from all kinds of mission work in different organizations. And I was pretty depressed about that. So I was sitting at home reading the Bible, and people said, the future is behind you. And suddenly I came across a little verse in Joel that I had not, well, I've read it before, but I had not seen it before. It was the verse that your sons and daughters shall prophesy and your old men shall dream dreams.
Wow.
I said, wow, it's me.
That's you.
And so instead of retire, I decided to refire. And we started ServNow with no programs, no money, no donors, but with a passion to reach out to white spots on a mission map that I was aware of and I knew no one was working with. And so that's how ServNow started.
That's incredible. So you, now in its sixth or seventh year?
We'll start our seventh year in December.
Okay. Now, tell me about some of the places you have been to and some of the places you are reaching.
Well, ServNow started primarily in four countries, India, Nepal, Ukraine, and Uganda. And we didn't just put darts on the board to pick those. Those were countries I was very familiar with. I knew the needs. I knew what was not being done and so forth. And we had indigenous people there that were very, very appreciative if we would go in and do something. And so we did.
Yeah. So tell me about the way in which you approach these countries and how you get the Word of God into these countries. Now, you've published a number of materials. And how many of these books have you put together?
Well, we started off by trying to find out what the real need was. We found all these churches who had started 3, 4, sometimes 7 years ago by a convert from Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism that had been given a Bible out in their boonies where they live.
Mm-hmm.
Found Christ, got excited about it, started to tell their story to everyone that wanted to listen. And within a year, voila, they were the pastors.
Wow.
They had no training. They
no
just shared stories out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so we went to those pastors first and said, would you like to have a New Testament for every person in your congregation in their language? They thought that was unique. So we said, okay, we'll do that.
They liked that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had worked in Bible organizations for 40 years, so I knew where to find Bibles in whatever language. And so we did that. But then we realized that the pastor did not have any training. They had never read a theological book. There were no books available where they were. And the people in their congregations had a basically 4-year average education and had never read any books.
Mm-hmm.
Nor had they exercised their thumbs because they have no mobile phones, nor had they square eyes because they had not looked at television ever. And so I thought, we need to give them something in small doses. So I put together a book called The Basic Things You Need to Know About Jesus. And we tested it out in an Indian language, and we tested it out in Russian for Ukraine. And they just went like wildfire. And everyone said, we need this for our people. We need this in our church. And so we designed a series of 30 booklets. 20 of those are now ready on key subjects that every Christian should know something about. And then we, of course, have put them now in 21 languages, and we have 9 more to go. So eventually there will be 30 booklets in 30 languages.
Fantastic. So tell me how this vision that you got from Joel, how the old men will dream, and what you must be surprised where the Lord is taking this
we had
ministry.
No idea.
You have no idea.
I mean, I was not supposed to be working.
Yeah, you should be in a comfortable chair playing golf.
Yes, playing
right?
golf, going on cruises.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so many holes of golf you can play and so many cruises you can go on.
Right.
So we felt this was the time to do something now. Serve Now is an odd name. I had serve in my head. And then I realized, you know, at that point I was 68 years old. I could be in the box tomorrow.
Yes.
So I said, let's add the word now. And then we added a byline, procrastinate later.
Right.
So serve now, procrastinate later. Get on with it, because now is the day.
Yeah, it's smart to approach ministry with a sense of urgency, because people are perishing without knowing Christ, and we can't sit around and procrastinate, can we?
No, and the message we have forgotten is that Jesus is coming soon.
Yes. Now, I want to hear about some of these passionate pastors that have no training, yet they become pastors in the church. I can identify with them a little bit because I have no training in radio, but what the heck, I still have the job. So
that's good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Tell me about...
They, of course, were thrilled about this idea, but we said to them, we don't want this just to be something that's given to you because you think it's neat to have these books. If you sense the urgent need and are willing to work through this program, we will make them available to you. And so everyone sign up. We have over 1,000 churches that have signed up right now. We have 8,000 churches on the waiting list for the next 1,000 days.
Wow.
Most of those in Africa and Latin America. And then a growth pattern in India and Nepal and so forth. But they started using this, and we have now done it for 4 years since we actually got the program going. And last January, I said to my colleagues, it would be nice to find out what's really happening. We get anecdotal stories every week. I got saved. I love my neighbors. I do this. I do that. But what has happened? So we went back to all 1,000-plus churches and did a little research, put it all together. And the result is the most mind-boggling I've ever found in 56 years of Christian ministry. Let me share them with you if we have 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. That's what we call in the radio business a cliffhanger, because you just set us up.
3,000 booklets we print in each language to start with.
Yeah.
When they go out to 3,000 believers, this is what happens immediately.
3,000 booklets to 3,000 believers.
Yeah. Okay. 1,680 of those believers go out and share their faith with someone else the next week.
Wow.
Out of those, 688 people come to faith in Christ.
Wow.
For every 3,000 books, 688 new believers that are added to the church. After a year, the people in the church that before were normal Christians, i.e., they were backbiting, they were lying to each other, they hated each other, they were fighting with each other, said, God has shown up, and we have been revived, revitalized. We now love one another. We want to serve God together. We want to go out and do something. So 35% in the church is immediately involved in social outreach projects in their villages. Could be clothing the poor, feeding the hungry, helping with our medical clinics that we do, whatever it takes to bring the gospel in a practical way to people who don't know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is happening. So the church is growing on an average 43% every year, year after year. I would love to see churches do that in this country.
I know. We all have to pause for a second and just listen to that statistic, because that is amazing. And that does not happen at churches here.
No.
In America.
And, you know, we live in another culture. We are app-oriented. Everything has to be in an app, otherwise it won't work.
Right.
But sometimes I think we miss some of the longevity of having something that doesn't just pass by your eyes in the second and you've forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually take in and take to your heart. What we have done in these books, they are about 50% scripture. So we're taking the subject we are telling and then put a lot of scripture in. So people who have not read the Bible before are drawn into the Word of God and then goes to the real source to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have that problem in this country where no one goes to the source, barely. Very little Bible reading, especially among the younger generation.
Mm-hmm. I love these books, Lars, because they're about less than 30 pages, and they're something you could read in one sitting.
Yep.
And the basic things you need to know about prayer, the basic things you need to know about the Bible, basic things you need to know about God. So these are tools that can get people into the Word of God and then get them more excited to go deeper into the Word.
Yes, and there are two things there. There is no theological jargon. For example, the Book of God took a year to write, 32 pages, because you had to take away all the theological terms that we use that no one sometimes knows what they mean. So that had to be done. Secondly, with 32 pages, you can not even press heresy in there if you try. You know, there is no room for that because
right.
you're telling the basics.
Yes.
Because often people say to me, well, are you reflecting on this theology or that theology? No, I said, I'm telling from the Bible the basic things you need to know about God, salvation, and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We came to a church in Uganda where the pastor had actually been for 20 years, and he got the book on salvation, and he picked it up, and he said, I've heard the word, but
really?
I don't know what it means.
Wow.
He was a pastor for 20 years.
Of a church.
Yeah.
He did not know what the word salvation meant.
No. And so he sat down, and he read the book. He came to faith in Jesus, got very happy, and went out and shared it with his whole congregation, who all turned to God.
Mm-hmm.
So now they could do more than just sing and dance. They could actually worship the living God they now knew.
Yeah. I'm so glad you didn't sit around and decide to play golf.
Yeah. Actually, I've been in this country for 40 years. I've been on many golf courses with donors. No one has ever showed me how to hold a club.
Yeah. Yeah, you must
Praise
be
God.
Really bad. All right. Let me take a little break. When I come back, lots more with Lars Dunberg. We'll take a short break. Welcome back to the show. I have in studio Lars Dunberg, and I am absolutely enjoying our time together. He is got an idea at age 68 that he was not going to sit around, but he was going to go make a difference, and he is. He's got a ministry called Serve Now, and if you missed any of this interview, please go back and start at myfaithradio.com and hear it from the beginning, because this is riveting. And Lars, I want to ask you about, in addition to all the things that get produced for ServeNow and get distributed to pastors, what else is your ministry doing for pastors?
Well, as we started this program that we call the Basic Series You Need to Know About, and it takes every subject you can dream of, the pastors started to use it in the churches, and then you get a contact from one of the pastors saying, we have a problem in our village. And we said, what problem is that? No one in our village has ever seen a medical doctor. I said, okay, we can help with that. So the following week, they were told to gather all the people in the village, whatever background, Muslims, Hindus, Christians, the village square, and then we brought in a Christian doctor, a little pharmacy, and we saw 150 patients, 200 patients in a day. And the next table is, you know, it's a little pharmacy, so they just go and get that prescription. And then the next table, the believers in that church, has a basic book about Jesus. We say to them, you have to read about the great physician. This is the basic things you need to know about the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
So they take that, and then at the last table, the Christians are standing there and saying, is there something we can pray for you about? And whether you are a Hindu or a Muslim, you have things that are needed in your life. So, sure, they take some prayers. Then about 2-3 weeks later, when they meet the pastor as he's walking around in the village, they said, come in and have a cup of chai, tea, whatever. And then they said, medicine was good. Prayers were even better. Can you pray for us now? We have this need. And the pastor says, yes, I can do that, but why don't you come to church on Sunday? We will explain how God answers prayer. And so the people just come to listen and come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh.
It's just a tremendous thing that is happening. Then, at another time, there's a pastor that calls and said, the drought season is upon us. And, you know, there are a lot of wells that have been drilled, but the castless, the untouchables, are not allowed to go to the wells. That's just for the top caste people. So they just die of thirst or die of unclean water. What can we do? There is nothing there. Imagine 125 degrees Fahrenheit, inside and outside. There is no air conditioning anywhere. There's nowhere to hide. And so we drive in whole tankers of fresh, clean water, give to the church to distribute to everyone in the village. And the people in the village says, who is selling us water? And they say, no, we are not selling it. We are giving it to you. Who's giving us water? The churches. Oh, the foreign god people. And they said, why are you doing that? Because the foreign god loves you, and he wants to be your god. And so they get clean water, not just for once, but for 2 months, the same people, during the whole drought season. Wow. While the church is having services on living water, announced, living water, come and hear about living water. And so the people come because they got fresh water. They want to hear more. Mm. And so they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Every year as we do this program, hundreds of new believers come to faith in Christ because of that. Then we have another problem in these villages. And that is, especially in Nepal and India, there are other problems in Ukraine. But in Nepal and India, the mothers often sell their daughters because they want to pay for their sons' education. The daughters have no value. The sons do. And so they sell their daughters to the traffickers. And so we go to these families now that have daughters and say, if you would like to keep your daughter in the family and don't destroy her life, send her to us for 6 months and we will train her to become a tailor. And after 6 months, she will earn much more money than you could ever give in that little meager sum you get from the trafficker. And so until today, we have trained over 1,000 women in tailoring or cosmetology, or in Ukraine, we run a bakery school. Mm-hmm. Because they know all about cosmetology and tailoring, but not about bread, because they need so much bread in Ukraine, the staple.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, last month, we graduated 40 ladies in the worst slum you can imagine in Kathmandu, Nepal. Young women have come from the countryside looking for work in Kathmandu and find after many months of looking they can't find it, and they all become prostitutes. In this worst slum is so many prostitutes. When we announced we would do a class just for them, we had over 200 standing line.
Wow.
We could take 40. And then last month we graduated all 40. They had come looking weary and worn out, having no self-confidence. They left ready to start a business of another kind and to be a representative of Jesus Christ in their village because they had found him. We give them a sewing machine each, not an electric one, one that you work with your hand or one that you work with, pump with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
But for $200, it has a tremendous impact on these ladies' lives because they feel that they have meaning, they have hope, they have a future. And then we teach them a very, very difficult principle. You have to sell for more than you buy material. That's called a little profit. And so because they do that, they have now become the business woman of their village because they know how to do those things. And we just see miracles happening through all of that.
Mm. It's fantastic. It's so inspiring. And then what about some of the other needs of the pastors, some of the needs they might have?
Well, they need training.
Okay.
They had never been to an hour of a Bible school. And so we provide them training in basic things. We go through the material, teach them more than what's in the 32-page book, and teach them how perhaps preach on those subjects over the 3 months when their church members are reading the same book. So it becomes a double way of getting it inside these people's hearts and heads.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned earlier during the break about simple things like even pastors supplying them with transportation.
Yes.
What might that be? Is that a plane?
That is happening especially in Uganda, where we work in the most rural areas. Many, many pastors. We have a set of about 350 churches we work with in Uganda. Many of these pastors have two or three or sometimes four congregations, sometimes 30 to 40 miles apart. They walk every day barefoot to get to these congregations. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news.
Isaiah.
And those feet are blistered and worn and dirty, but they are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to give them a bicycle. Don't send me bicycles now if you hear this. It costs more to transport them to Uganda than to buy them there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel burdened to help with that, that's a fantastic thing to do. Anyway, when we give these bicycles, the guys dress up in their Sunday best, three-piece suits and ties. They've never been riding a bicycle in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we start, we have a school there that has a downhill. So we start them on the downhill. So they learn to brake fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tremendous to see the joy on these pastors when they get their bicycles.
Yeah.
We need about 1,000 more right now.
1,000 more bicycles?
Bicycles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And tell our listeners about how we would learn more about Search Now and some of the needs you have described are, I know, are needs that people would love to participate in trying to meet.
The easiest is to go to our website.
Okay.
Because you find videos, you find stories, and the website is a bit more than our name. So it's We Serve Now. WeServeNow.org. www.WeServeNow.org.
So when I'm looking through some of these books that you've given me, Lars, and you know, the basic things you need to know about God or the Bible or salvation, when you were putting these together, how was it changing your heart? Because as you have put these books together now, you have, through the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, there's going to be many people in glory because of your effort and your work.
Yes. Well, when you've been preaching for 56 years, it's interesting when you have to change how you put it across. I was an evangelist in Sweden in my early days, and I used to be very grateful when a 10-year-old person in the audience came and said, I understood every word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been aiming for. Not to the 10-year-olds, but to the people who have never read books. And people look at these here and they say, oh, they are so simple. Yes, that's the beauty of it.
I know.
It has to
that's
be simple for them to understand. And it's taken time. I mean, I've been writing, not all of these, but a lot of them. And I edit all the others that we have other writers for. But you have to really work very carefully to get it to a level that is approachable by people who would not understand. But now, after almost 500,000 copies out there, we get so many stories every week of how lives have been changed and how books that weren't aimed at a certain audience. I think of a man who was a real hard alcoholic, and he had left his family. He was now in his upper 60s and lived on the streets. And someone gave him the book on prayer. It's not an evangelistic tool, exactly. But he read through the book, and he came to the pastor and said, many people have shared their testimony with me, and I couldn't care at all about it. But this book penetrated my heart. Is there forgiveness for me? And he came to the Lord, was reunited with his family, and so forth. So, remarkable just to see what God can do.
Yeah. Lars, really great having you in studio. And just as a parting thought, what's your favorite Swedish joke?
Ooh, 10,000 Swedes went through the fields, chased by one Norwegian.
Lars, thank you so much. Lars Dunberg has been my guest.
That's all the time we have. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.